Grace be multiplied to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here is the first sentence of our gospel lesson. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. And the text is talking about Good Friday. But I want to start a few days earlier than that. Jesus in Jerusalem. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and the gifts dedicated to God. And Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." Jesus was sentenced to death in AD 30, maybe AD 33, depending on who your professor is. He was sentenced to death when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Tiberius Caesar was emperor of Rome, and 40 years later, in 70 AD, Titus Caesar, the emperor of Rome, defeated Jerusalem after a six-month siege. The temple was destroyed, as Jesus said it would be. The city burned, the walls torn down, and hundreds of thousands of people were killed and enslaved and driven into exile. Jesus said this was coming. And he told his disciples that when that time came, they should flee from all this and escape. So think about what Jesus is saying. The disciples were like any visitor to Jerusalem. They were amazed at the beauty, the wonder of the temple and of the holy city. And Jesus says, "No, it will not last. This is not your future. Not this. It's all coming down." And the description of how bad it will be leads him into his description of the end of the world. Now, two or three days later, Jesus is sentenced to die. As he's being led out of the city, whipped, beaten, bleeding, carrying the cross until they put it on someone else, the women of the city were mourning and crying and weeping at the injustice and the tragedy of it all. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children. The time will come when we will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore, the breasts that never nursed.' Then," and Jesus is now quoting the Old Testament, "they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? If this happens now, when you think things are going the way they always go, what will happen when it gets worse?" The disciples said, "Look how wonderful this is." And Jesus says, "It is not permanent. It will not last." The women of Jerusalem said, "How terrible this is, what they're doing to you." And Jesus says, "This is not the worst. The worst is coming." He is telling both of them a message that is for everyone, for us today. You see, this life, this time, you see how wonderful things are? Things that people have made. Things that God has made. Wonderful things. Buildings, birds, art, and music, and rivers and parks, and they will not last. This is not your future. The things you have in your home, in your hand, in your bank account, they will all be taken away. Don't set your heart on here and on now. It will not last. And also, you see this life, this time, you see how terrible things are? Things that people have done and are doing to each other? Illnesses, suffering, hunger and hatred, fires and wars, injustice and cruelty, large crimes out there and household hurts at home. They will not last. They are not your future. Yes, in many ways, things will get worse. Things will be torn down. Pain and death will have their day. Don't set your heart on here and on now. It will not last. It's a message for everybody. Your hope is not that things will stay as they are, if they're pretty good, or that they will get better. This is not the future. Those who have something in their hand need to set their hope on something else. Those whose hands are filled with sorrow need to have a hope, a source of hope, somewhere else. Everyone needs something else. So let's go somewhere else. Two other men, both criminals, were led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the place of the skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." That also is a message for everybody. Who was there when they crucified him? The soldiers who drove the nails into the bones of his hands, the officers who gave the orders, people who laughed at his suffering, and people who wept. Street criminals who shared the same fate as he did. A few women and some other supporters, his mother, and at least one disciple, religious opponents, curious passerbys. There was a crowd, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." They don't know. Who is they? Who is Jesus talking about? Who are the people who don't know what they're doing? Who are the people that Jesus is forgiving? Let me suggest again that he is talking about everyone. Everyone there, everyone here. Yes, the soldiers with their mallets and their spikes, they had no idea who Jesus was. They didn't know what they were doing. But I don't think that Jesus is saying, "Don't blame these people, blame someone else." Even Pilate, the opponents of Jesus among the Jewish religious leaders, the high priests and the Pharisees, they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what Jesus was doing. They didn't know what God was doing. And even the worst among us, those today who ignore and defy the word of God, those who live without love of God or any love for people around them, Those who live only for love of themselves, love of money, and pleasures, possessions, power, gold, and praise. Those who love nobody as well as they love themselves. Even the worst of us, and even the best of us at our worst, don't really know what we are doing. We know that things are wrong, but I don't think we know how wrong they are. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Jesus knows. He knows what they are doing, and he knows the whole life history that have led people to do what they do. He knows how wrong things are, and he knows what it takes to forgive what is wrong. By saying, Father, forgive them, Jesus is committing himself to stay on the cross for their forgiveness, for the people killing him, for the people on the hill of the skull, for those weeping and those laughing. Father, forgive them, says the only person who can pay a price for the forgiveness of others. The only person with love enough to dedicate his life so that others on their way to death can live. Father, forgive them, says the only Lamb of God who can carry away the sins of the whole world, who can take away the sins of the world. One man died for all, says St. Paul 25 or 30 years later to the Corinthians. One man died for all, and therefore all have died. All of this is from God, who reconciled himself to us, reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, making peace between himself and a sinful world. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God didn't count people's sins against them. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Or in other words, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. It's for everybody. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? You know, aren't you the Savior who's supposed to come? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" He says, "You're under the same sentence. And we are punished justly, rightly. We are getting what our deeds deserve. This man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The time is coming when all of this, good and bad, goes away. That's a message for everyone. Father, forgive them. That's also a message for everyone. But God also, Jesus also, talks to people one at a time And he does so for a street criminal. We don't know anything about this man. He's called a robber, a criminal. What we do know is what he says. He's being tortured to death. He is going to die today. He knows that. And he says, the way I lived, this is what I deserved. This is what I have coming. This is fair. But this man has done nothing wrong. Now, what did he know about Jesus? We don't know. Jesus was famous. People talked about him all the time, so he undoubtedly had heard something. What we do know about him is the two things that he said. First, he knows that Jesus is being punished unjustly. He doesn't deserve to die. Certainly doesn't deserve to die like this. And second, we know that he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus is being hung up to die. He is dying in public so that people can ridicule him in a death filled with dishonor. And a man who is being hung up to die as a criminal turns to the man on the cross next to him and says, Jesus, you're coming into a kingdom. Please remember me when you come into your kingdom. We know from all the other Gospels that many people had come to Jesus for forgiveness, for healing. This man doesn't ask to be saved from death. He doesn't ask to be miraculously taken off of the cross, though it seems he may have joined in that request earlier. Many times Jesus said to people, you have great faith. Your faith in Jesus is saving you. But this man looks at Jesus at the lowest point of Jesus' life. At the point of Jesus' life when Jesus himself says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this man says to Jesus, who is also going to die today, you're coming into a kingdom. Please remember me. It is remarkable. It's a miracle of faith. And at that time, from that person, and Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's a promise. It's made by the Lamb of God who was taking away the sin of the world. Made by the King whose kingdom and power and glory will remain forever. It was made to one man on that day. And it's heard and it's held by all of us this day. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year. It's a day to think about what kind of a king we have. He's a king for everyone, telling us that this world is not an everlasting kingdom. It will not be like this forever. Jesus is a king for everybody, telling us that sins are forgiven. Not held against us. That his death meant forgiveness for the whole world. There is no other forgiveness. There's no other name under heaven by which we or anyone else can be saved. Jesus is a king for everybody. And he's a king for each of us, one by one. We join today. with our brother, the thief on the cross, to say, Jesus, King Jesus, remember me. Yes, remember us, but also remember me. And Jesus, who you remember, was called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, who says, I am with you always. Jesus says, truly, you will be with me. We are with him in his death. We were baptized into that death. We have the sign of the cross, the sign of that death on our forehead and on our hearts in our baptism and in ashes at times. And we are with him, baptized into his death and resurrection. By his death, our King has destroyed death. And by his rising to life again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Now, in the resurrection of the dead, and in the life of the world to come, we are with him now and tomorrow and always. So we go out from here into a world that needs a lot of love, that needs a lot of forgiveness. We go out from here with him. We go out this afternoon and tomorrow and this week and every week as people who have a King who is with us. He sends us to love and to praise him with our lives. He sends us to love other people, the people around us, the people who are near to us, who are nigh to us, our neighbors. Even people we think the least of, love them as we want to be loved ourselves. Love them as our King loved us. He thought we were worth dying for, this whole world. And he lives so that we may know that his promise is still his promise. A living promise for us, to us, one by one. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. In Jesus' name, amen.